Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please open your Bibles. We are going to read a passage in Leviticus chapter 23, which is a very important passage. We are going to look into the Feast of Shavuot in Hebrew, or the Feast of Pentecost in the Greek, or the feast that is known to be the Feast of 50, speaking about the feast in which the Lord gave to our forefathers, the people of Israel, many years ago when Israel came out of the land of Egypt. So first of all, let's read the text together. I have a few verses that I want to read from both the Tanakh, that is the Old Testament, and the Brit HaChadashah, that is the New Covenant, the New Testament. So please follow me. Leviticus chapter 23, once again, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," immediately verse 4, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons." Then down to verse 15, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Shabbats shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Shabbat shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meal offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the self same day, that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." Now please turn with me to the Brit HaChadashah, that is to the New Covenant. And I want to read a verse in John chapter 14 and verse 16. Just one verse. Yeshua is speaking and saying, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And the first part of verse 17, "even the Spirit of truth." Then please turn with me to Acts chapter 1, and then I'm going to read a few verses there. We begin in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. And notice what we read. "To whom also he," this is Yeshua, "showed himself alive after his death by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded he them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in a white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Shabbat day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. And now quickly turn to chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and verse 1, and there I'm going to read just a few more verses. Verse 1, And when the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabian, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And that is the text that I have to share with you today. I will try, beloved brothers and sisters, to kind of put it together so we will not be confused as we study today the Feast of Pentecost. I mentioned it many times before, and I'm going to mention it once again. If you and I will understand the seven feasts that God had given to Israel, these are the feasts that belong to Him. If we understand correctly these seven feasts, it will help us to grasp much better the plan and the program that God has for the whole human race. God has a plan. God wants many to come to know the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. He is not intending for us to live only our life here and now for the many years that He gives us here, but God wants, first of all, that we will come to know the Lord as our Savior, as our Mashiach, our Messiah. Sin has to be paid for, and God provided a way of salvation. So in those seven feasts that we have there in the chart, which are found in Leviticus chapter 23, I didn't read the whole 23rd chapter of Leviticus, but you notice the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of trumpets, the day of atonement, and the feast of tabernacles. Seven mo'adim, as we say in Hebrew, seven feasts that God had given our nation Israel. All these feasts together combine give us the plan of God for Israel, the nation, for the church, the body of Messiah, the assembly, and for the whole world together. And it's all wrapped up, beloved brothers and sisters, in one person by the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. And so as we look at them, we can see that in a yearly cycle, they were spread to be celebrated throughout 1 year. And they are always being repeated again and again and again. Every year, the same seven feasts are celebrated or kept or supposed to be kept by our nation, the nation of Israel. Of course, it began with Pesach, and it's end with the tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot. It began with the death of the Messiah, Yeshua, and it culminates with the second coming of the Messiah to rule and to reign over this sin-sick world that will have eventually to be judged. And He will give us a wonderful age of 1,000-year reign of the Messiah. Now, of course, today, in the time in that we are studying the Word of God today, we are not so much discussing any other of the seven feasts except the one that is called here the Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot. Shavuot, you notice, is right in the middle. Three feasts in the past, three feasts in the future, and right in the middle here, the Feast of Shavuot, we see the High Priest of Israel presenting before the God of Israel those two loaves that are found here in His hands. Now, it is so refreshing to me as I'm studying these feasts again and again, especially as I have to minister and to share these with others. It is amazing, beloved brothers and sisters, how wise God is. And how His plan is not merely man-made plan, it is indeed divine. It came from God, it originated by God. No one, no human being made this plan. It was given by God for His people, Israel, but ultimately given to us in order to proclaim the plan of God. And so, just quickly, Passover, we see the sprinkling of the blood. Blood had to be shed when Yeshua the Messiah died on a shameful cross. He shed His blood. Then we see the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Here we can see how the communion of saints, it reminds us of the unleavened life that the Messiah lived. Sin apart. And you and I are exhorted to live a life that is honoring to the Lord. Then we have the first fruit. Represent the resurrection of the Messiah. He is no longer in the tomb, in the grave. Up from the grave He arose, and God had been so satisfied with the death and resurrection of the Messiah. Then we have the Feast of Pentecost in the order of Leviticus chapter 23. And the Feast of Pentecost, I just want to highlight because I want to go also to read in Brit HaChadashah. You notice what we read. We read Leviticus chapter 23. And Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 to 21, represent before us this Feast of Pentecost or Shavuot. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word 50, and it really comes 50 days after the Shabbat of first fruit, and we find the counting would begin for 7 weeks. Which Shabbat is he speaking about to bring those 2 wave loaves? Is it the Shabbat that comes immediately after Passover had begun? Or is it the Shabbat that is the weekly Shabbat? And they were struggling over that, and they still, up till today, have no assurance which day after the Shabbat the counting of 50 days will begin. But on the morrow after the Shabbat, verse 15 of Leviticus 23, he says, notice he says, ye bring the sheaves of the wave offering, count 7 times 7, Sheva Shabbatot, or 7 Shabbats, will be complete, and unto the morrow after the 7th Shabbat, ye shall number 50. And so in verse 16, ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves. And the reason that is puffed up, that is, you might say, not flat, is because there is leaven, there is yeast in these loaves. Why? Because God instructed Israel in verse 17 of Leviticus chapter 23, ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deal. They shall be, notice, of fine flour, he said, but they must be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And interesting enough, it is the only sacrifice, you might say, that God commanded our forefathers to bring with leaven. Because if you read back, go back to Leviticus earlier in chapter 2 and so on, you will see that leaven could never be in the sacrifices whatsoever. Because leaven represents sin. And sin can never be in the presence of God. But when it's come to these 2 loaves, he specifically commanded to add leaven to those 2 loaves. And of course, we know very well, beloved brothers and sisters, that in these 2 loaves, there is a representation of those that are approaching God who have sin in them. There's sin in all of us, right? By nature, we have sin. All of us have sinned. And you see here a representation of both Israel, the Jewish people, and the nations of the world, the Gentile world. There is sin in men, and in these 2 loaves, there is a representation of those sinners who are forgiven, but still represented before the Lord, there before him. And so we read in verse 17, ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven, because they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And he said, ye shall offer with this bread, verse 18. Now he tells us, how can God accept the 2 wave loaves which represent the nation of Israel, or Jewish people and Gentiles which have sin in them? Immediately you notice that alongside these 2 loaves, blood has to be presented. Because without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So verse 18 and 19, and verse 20, you notice how many sacrifices had to be offered. It says here in verse 18, ye shall offer this bread with 7 lambs, without blemish, of the first year, 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with the meal offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire, sweet savor unto the Lord. The interesting thing here in this passage, that these 2 wave loaves that a priest will present before the Lord could never come on their own without blood that was shed of an animals that were innocent without any blemish. Because all the sacrifices that our forefathers have offered speak to us about the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah who will die for the sin of mankind. So we have burnt offering. We have sin offering in verse 19. We have peace offering in verse 19. All these offerings had to be offered with blood of an animal that is an innocent animal to die on behalf of the nation of Israel. Burnt offering, sin offering, peace offering, all these represent the blood that was shed by the Messiah in order that he will be able to receive these two loaves which represent the Jewish people and the Gentiles that will eventually become one company that belong to the Lord. So the lesson, beloved brothers and sisters, in the Feast of Pentecost is that now, on the basis of what's going to happen, because prophetically it speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit to unite the people of God, those who will trust the Messiah, presented before the Lord as a redeemed people, and it is in the prophetic order, the four feasts that is part of the Feast of the Lord. So that's the main portion that I wanted to share with you in the book of Leviticus. So now please let's go to the Brit HaChadashah and see the connection between the Feast of Pentecost or Shavuot to the New Testament time, or we might say to you and I today. And so the Messiah came. Yeshua the Messiah came. He died on the cross, on the tree. He was buried and he rose again. Before he left, he made a promise. He made a promise to the disciples, to the apostles there. And he said to them, if you remember in John 14 verse 16, which I read, I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. Ruach HaEmet. Yeshua, already before he died, he prepared the disciples. To remind you that the disciples were Jewish people who believed on him. The rest of the nation, as the nation of Israel, did not accept him. But they believed on him. They followed after him for 3 years in his ministry here on earth. The rest of the nation, namely the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and so on, and the Herodians, and all the spiritual leaders of our own nation, Israel, did not accept him. The nation as a nation did not accept the Mashiach, Yeshua, at his first coming. And he knew it. How did he know it? Because he's the one who gave those seven feasts to Israel a long time ago. He knew that he will have to die. He knew that he will have to be buried and rise again. He knew very well that he will have to be taken up to heaven. And he knew that he's going for a long time away before he's going to establish the Messianic kingdom, which will happen in the Feast of Tabernacles. He knew this very well. So he said that while I am going away, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will pray the Father, John 14, verse 16. And he shall give you another comforter. I was your comforter now, but I'm leaving. So I'm going to ask God the Father to send you another of the same kind, another comforter. And he said, who is that comforter? It's the Spirit of Truth. And can you imagine, beloved brothers and sisters, those disciples didn't quite grasp it. What does that mean? What's going to happen to us when you are leaving? You're going to die, he told them all along. I will die. I will be given over to the Gentiles. And ultimately, I will be killed and I will die. And on the third day, I will rise again. He explained to them the necessity of his death. And they were discouraged. So what's going to happen? When the Messiah will die and he will depart from us. And now he's telling us, don't worry. I'm going to pray the Father that another Comforter will come. And that word for another, it is another of the same kind. I'm God the Son. I'm going to pray the Father that He will send you one Comforter of the same kind, God, but not me, God the Holy Spirit. That's why He mentioned even the Spirit of truth. In Hebrew we say, Ruach HaEmet, the Spirit of God who will teach us and guide us and bring those that trusted in Yeshua to know the truth, to know the plan of God for them. So, indeed, we know what happened. Immediately after chapter 14, 15, and 16 of the Gospel of John, at the end of chapter 18, Yeshua was taken. He was brought into the high priest of Israel, later on to Pilate, and eventually Pilate handed him over to his soldier, and they killed the Lord of glory. The crucifixion, the death of the Messiah, happened in chapter 19 of the Gospel of John. And there we find out in chapter 19 and verse 30 that Yeshua, after he finished the work on the cross, we read that he cried, "It is finished." And the work of redemption was complete. He died in order to make it possible for sinner to be accepted by God. It is finished. John 19 and verse 30. He finished the work of redemption. So now, just before he was taken to heaven after his resurrection, we find out that he remained here on earth. That's why I read in Acts chapter 1 the first few verses, because the Lord remained on earth. Yeshua remained on earth for 40 days to share with the disciples, to speak to them, to encourage them before he was taken to heaven. And so you remember what happened there, beloved brothers and sisters. It says there in verse 3, he showed himself alive. He rose. You see, again, look at this beautiful lesson here. He died Passover. He lived a perfect life. He rose from among the dead. And just before the Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot began, he showed himself alive. It tells us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, for 40 days, he encouraged them, he taught them, he ministered to them. In fact, it says here in verse 3 that he spake with them the things that pertaining to the kingdom of God. The Messianic kingdom is coming. Of course, at the end here, it will be eventually the millennial age will come. So he spoke with them about the coming kingdom. But the disciples didn't quite understand everything as yet. Remember, they didn't have the Brit HaChadasha as you and I have it complete today. They had the Tanakh in their hand. They had the Messiah in their midst. But they were limited in their understanding. They are the one who were, you might say, the foundation of the age in which we live in today. The age of the Ecclesia, the church age which we live in today. So they were asking him. Notice what they said to him in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. That takes us back to John chapter 14. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, even the Spirit of truth. So he said to them, listen, you don't leave Jerusalem. You wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father is coming, which you heard of me saying this to you earlier. In verse 5, he said to them of Acts chapter 1, John surely baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized by the Holy Spirit. He kind of giving them additional information. He says, you are going to be baptized. You are going to be placed into somewhere or something. The word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo, comes from the Hebrew word tvila, which means you are going to be put into, to be dipped into. Into what? John baptized in water, but you will be baptized into something that later on it gives us the word, the body of Christ. But here he said, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God, not many days hence. He giving them some information, you might say a new information that they never had before. Imagine, these men were Israeli, Jewish men. Many of them were Galilean. They celebrated all the feasts that God gave to Israel every year. But the nation of Israel did not accept the Mashiach. What's going to happen to our nation? Will Israel accept the Messiah? Will Israel eventually receive the promised kingdom? They did not know what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. Because you notice, brothers and sisters, in verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, they therefore would come together, they asked him. They wanted to know. They said, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, remember, brothers and sisters, our people during those days were under the occupations of the Romans. The kingdom of Israel was a non-existence. Our own Jewish people were scattered to Babylon, to Assyria in 721, to Assyria in 586, to Babylon. The Jewish people were still scattered all over the nations of the world, and there was a remnant there waiting in the city of Jerusalem, but they were occupied by the Romans. The emperor was controlling the Jewish people. Israel as a kingdom was not in existence. Yes, there were Jewish people in the land. Always there were Jewish people in the land. But the kingdom was not in their hands. It was handed to the Gentile world. So these apostles or disciples were wondering, and they said, Lord, will thou restore again, notice they use the word again, the kingdom to Israel? They were hoping that the nation of Israel will be reestablished. And the Messiah, you might say, will be there now. He rose from the dead, so he should stay right there and establish the Messianic kingdom. But he had a plan, which has to be in line of the program that was given many years before. 1,500 years before he died, God already gave that program to our forefathers, the Jews, who came out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. Now they came out, and in the wilderness, God gave them his program. The kingdom will be established one day, but it will never be established before the Messiah will come and die, before he will be resurrected, and before something going to happen in between, before the second coming of the Messiah. And no wonder, beloved brothers and sisters, look at this. Where is the Lord Yeshua today? He's in heaven. How many years passed since he died and rose again? 2,000 years passed. What about our nation Israel? Do they believe that he is the Messiah? No. Do Jewish people believe today that he is the Messiah? Many do. And many Gentiles believe that he is the Messiah. But the nation as a nation are still waiting for the kingdom to come. And that's why those Jewish people of old, those disciples, they were puzzled. They did not have what you have today in our hands, the complete canon of Scripture. They wanted Israel restored as they understood it from the Tanakh. But the measure of their understanding was limited. Therefore, when they said to him, will thou restore now, this time, the kingdom again to Israel, which we lost by being scattered because of our disobedience? And look at the answer of the Lord. Yeshua the Messiah said to them in verse 7, oh, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. It's not for you to know those seasons. It's not for you to know those times. You would not know because God in his program and plan, in his time, he will accomplish all what he has. All what you have to do is to wait in obedience to Him, live for Him here and now until He will fulfill all the promises that He gave the nation of Israel. And therefore He said to them in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. See that? Just pause here for a moment with me, beloved brothers and sisters. You see, will thou restore the kingdom to Israel now again? The answer was immediately no. I will not restore it for you because I want you, these early Hebrew Christians or Messianic Jews of the first century, I want you to be my witnesses after that you will receive the Holy Spirit of God that will come upon you. You're going to be witnesses to me. And not only in Yerushalayim where we are now, he's saying to them. Oh, it's going to go beyond Yerushalayim. It's going to go to all Judea in the area there and beyond Judea to Samaria and even beyond the land of Israel unto the uttermost parts of this earth. And that's where you and I fit in today, beloved brothers and sisters. You know why? You and I live far away from the land of Israel, from Jerusalem, from Judea, from Samaria. We live in this day, in this country, and many are living in many countries. And the message of the gospel, of the grace of God, had gone beyond the borders of Israel and reached you and reached me, who are right now living away from the land of Israel, far away in many, many countries. And you notice he gave them that command, ye shall be witnesses unto me. But you know, you're only going to be witnesses after me after that you will receive the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And so after he said this to them, he departed. And so we read that when he had spoken these things, they beheld him as he was taken up, and he was received out of their sight. Imagine, I can only imagine how God have taken him and took him to his own presence. It's amazing to see God was so satisfied with Yeshua, the Messiah, who finished the work on that shameful cross. This man that was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow that was acquainted with grief. God was so satisfied with him that he says, no, I'm going to take you out of here. I'm going to bring you into my own presence. And you remember what the psalmist of Israel said, sit down at my right hand until I'm going to make thine enemies thy footstool. And he took him to glory. And you know why? Right now we have a man in heaven, in the right hand of God the Father. We have the one who loved us so much, the one who paid the price for our sin and sins. All of us that deserve to be punished, yet God forgave us on the basis of his finished work. But he didn't leave the believers alone, because the believers ought to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God so they can live their lives for the Lord. And so what we read immediately after he was taken up, you see, what we find out, verse 10 and 11 of Acts chapter 1, we read these verses, while they looked steadfastly out of heaven. As he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are two angels. And these two angels stood beside them. And they said to them, look what they said. The angels are speaking to these Galileans who came from Galilee. Notice what the Bible tells us. It says that these two angels said to them in verse 11, they said, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up to heaven? Why are you staying this gazing up to heaven? What do you see? And of course, they knew very well that the Lord was taken. Yeshua the Messiah was taken to heaven. So these two angels, these two men said to them, this same Yeshua, not another, the very same one that loved you so much, that ministered to you so much, that died for you on this shameful cross, shameful tree, the same Yeshua, not another, the same Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In other words, they gave them a promise, same promise that was given in the past. The very same one that once died, was rejected by men, one day he is going to come again, and he's going to come in the same manner. He was taken to heaven. Everyone saw him, at least those believers have seen him. He's going to come in the same manner. He's going to come from glory. And they're going to see him. Everyone will see this Yeshua the Messiah. Every eye shall see him at his second coming, as we read it in Revelation chapter 1. As we read, and I just read this verse in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so." Amen. Later on, we read that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. So, just to see the scene, beloved brothers and sisters, the Messiah died, he lived a perfect life, he rose from among the dead, and somewhere there before the Feast of Shavuot, he was taken up to heaven because he was 40 days with the disciples there on the Mount of Olives. Now, 40 days passed. Now, 50 is going to come, another 10 days, and the Feast of Shavuot going to begin. Pentecost in Greek is the Hebrew Chamishim. Chamishim is 50. It's the Hebrew word Shavuot, weeks, 7 Shavuot, 7 times 7 is 49, plus 1 makes it 50. And so 50 days after is where we come into chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And please turn with me. Let me just make a couple of comments there. And there will notice what we read in chapter 2 and verse 1 of the book of Acts. There we read immediately in verse 1, when the day of Chamishim, Pentecost, weeks, was fully come. You see, what we learned that 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit of God came here upon the face of this earth. Exactly in the right time. He already left 10 days earlier. Now the Spirit of God descending to fulfill the feast of Pentecost. To fulfill the promise of the Father. John 14. And ye shall wait for the promise of the Father. I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter. Well, here it is. Chapter 2 of the book of Acts and verse 1. When the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all, notice that, beloved brothers and sisters, verse 4 tells us, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues or other glossa, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's make a few comments about this passage. First of all, you notice that the Feast of Pentecost came. Here we have the Feast of Shavuot finally arriving. And in the order of what we have been speaking about, he died, he lived first of all a perfect life, he rose, and the Feast of Shavuot coming. What happened in the Feast of Shavuot? We find out that as they were gathering there together, they were all with one accord. They were in one place, that was the upper room, that we find them in the previous chapter, chapter 1 and verse 13. They are in the upper room together, all the believers there. Of course, they were all Hebrew. They were all part of the nation of Israel, Galilean. Some of them were from the area of Jerusalem and so on. In fact, we read there were 120 believers in the upper room, praying together, sharing the word of God together, listening to perhaps ministry by various brethren like Peter and so on and the others, ministering to them the word of God, waiting patiently for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit of God, a divine person. And while they were all believers, yet they were not united as one positionally, because a new era is going to start. They were all individuals, believers, who come to know the Lord, but now he will put them together, you might call it the body of Mashiach, the body of Christ, the body of Messiah. Ephesians chapter 4 says there is one body of Jewish people, and Gentiles are united together in that one single body. And so the Spirit of God, notice that they were sitting in one place, in one accord, and suddenly, exactly in Shavuot, suddenly there came sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, immediately you hear that there was a sound. It doesn't say, notice, it says, as of a rushing mighty wind. You and I might try to figure out what does it mean, but it says, as there was a sound that came, a sound that they heard, but then there was something that they've experienced. The sound was as, like as a mighty wind coming through. Now, if you know your Bible, every time when you read the Hebrew word ruach, wind, and every time you read the word ruach, spirit, it's the same Hebrew word. Wind, ruach, Holy Spirit, ruach, same Hebrew word. The Bible oftentimes uses physical things to describe the persons of the Godhead. You have a father and a son, representation of the Abba, the Father, and the Son. You remember, like we read, for example, in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. The father had two sons. The one of them had gone astray. And then the father was waiting for him to return. It's a picture of God the Father who wanted to restore people to himself. Here we have a picture of God the Holy Spirit. The noise that they heard, like wind, moving ahead. And that was, as it were, of a mighty, as it says here, of rushing mighty wind. That is the coming of the Spirit of God. The sound that existed at that time. And the whole house was filled with that sound. As the Spirit of God was descending now, you might say, to baptize all these individual believers into one body. Secondly, notice what it says in that verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or in other words, divided flames of fire. And again, the Spirit of God is always looked upon also. This fire represents in Scripture oftentimes the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who is discerning and knowing the needs and the condition of all. It's like a purifying fire represented in Scripture. And of course, we know that again, it represents not only something to hear, verse 3, but also something to see. And all of a sudden, there appeared unto them parted flames, like, again, the word as of fire. And it set upon each of them. It's like you have a great fire, and all of a sudden, parts of that fire is kind of coming and sitting, you might say, the visual is as if it's sitting upon every believer that was there in this upper room. 120 individuals according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. So something to hear for the ear, and something to see visually for the eye. And notice that it filled the house and it set upon each one of those that were in this upper room. They were believers. It didn't sit upon anybody else outside who were not believers. It's set upon those that came to know Yeshua as their Lord, Messiah, and Savior. And so we read, notice immediately following after this, it says here in verse 4, that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. The third thing that happened there in this upper room is they have heard something, they have seen something, and they have done something. All of a sudden it says, they were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues, as it says here in verse 4, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I want to mention here, beloved brothers and sisters, they began to speak, notice with the word other. The Hebrew word for tongues is leshonot, the Greek is glossa. It's other languages. They began to speak in languages that they never knew before. They never took a course for that. They never went to school for that. It was not taught by anyone to them. It was the experience of the moment. And the reason that God allowed them to be able to speak in other languages, dialects, is in order that they will preach the message of the gospel. You see, if you and I are going to speak and to share the message of the gospel with other people, they have to understand what you and I are saying. They have to be clear. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing clearly by the word of God. And so they began to speak with other languages. Notice, as the Spirit have given to them utterance. And so they spoke. And as they were spoken, remember the feast of Shavuot, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of 50, is one of the three feasts where multitude of our own Jewish people come to the city of Jerusalem, especially when the temple was still standing. They were coming from all over the Jewish community worldwide to celebrate Passover, to celebrate Shavuot, and to celebrate Sukkot in the yearly cycle. They were celebrating Passover, then some of them did not even return home because after 50 days they will have to celebrate Shavuot. And the distance was tremendous. They came from all over the world. So some of the Jewish community, the Jewish people, remained with their families and their friends, and they remained longer time for about 50 days until they will celebrate the feast of Shavuot, and then they can go back home because until the fall feast of Sukkot, there are many, many months to pass through. So what we find out, that it says they began to speak, notice, with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then we find out what happened, because immediately he said they were dwelling in Jerusalem, verse 5, Jews, devout men out of every nation under the heaven. And when this was noised, when they heard this, what did they hear? All of a sudden, they hear the preaching of the glorious gospel of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, being presented, and people were hearing this. Because the upper room apparently was not far at all from the temple itself where they were all gathering together. And so when it was noise abroad, the multitude came together and they were confounded. Verse 6 of Acts chapter 2. Because every man heard them speak in his own dialect, in his own language. How is it possible? I'm hearing this in this language and in the other language. And how come what I'm hearing in my own mother's tongue? They are speaking. And what do they hear? It says here, notice a bit later on, it says here that they heard the wonderful works of God. According to verse 11, that these 120 who were speaking there were speaking forth the word of God, the wonderful works that God had done in sending the Messiah, Yeshua, to die in order to save mankind. It's amazing. And so they were all amazed in verse 7 of Acts chapter 2. They marveled and they said one to another, behold, Are not all these that speak Galileans? They were uneducated people. How come they speak in our own language? Where did they learn our own mother's tongue, that we came from this country or that country? Are they not Galileans? And the Galileans, beloved brothers and sisters, were people who you might say looked by the people in Judea as the people who are just, you know, fishermen. They are uneducated, they are not as wise, and they are not as spiritual as we are here in Judea. Education and the religious society is there. Oh, they are just Galilean. Are they not only Galileans? But how come we can hear them in our very own language, mother's tongue? But you see, even though they were Galilean, the Holy Spirit of God came. The Spirit of God filled them. The Spirit of God united them into one body. The Spirit of God came exactly on the Feast of Shavuot, 7 weeks plus one, make it 50. Feast of Pentecost. God, the Holy Spirit, came on earth like he never came before. He was always ministering here on earth. But he came now as another comforter to take, you might say, the ministry of the Spirit among God's people here on earth. Never he came like this, as the way he came before. He never came in this manner to indwell the believer, to put them into one body, to unite Jew and Gentile in these two loaves represented here, to be in one body, united together, though sinners, with leaven, yet saved and forgiven and being part of this one single body. It never happened before. And so they were amazed. And it gives us in verses 9 and 10 and even 11 of Acts chapter 2, it gives us the names of the country. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people of Mesopotamia, people of Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, Crete, and Arabians. They came from all over the Jewish community worldwide. They came to the land of Israel to celebrate the Feast of Shavuot. And they hear, they said in verse 11, we do hear them speak in our own languages, or our own tongue, the wonderful works of God. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, when God gave the Holy Spirit, he didn't give us the Holy Spirit of God in order that we will neglect the responsibility of the preaching of the wonderful works of God. In a world in which we live in today, when there is a works of men, there is all sort of conflicts and hatred and fighting and wars and all the things that we hear that is going on today, the believers in Yeshua the Messiah are responsible to preach the wonderful works that God had accomplished on behalf of mankind. And so please bear with me a couple more minutes. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul develops a little bit the events that happen here. What does he say? Just a few more verses. What does Paul teach us, Shaul, the apostle who gave us Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and all the other books such as 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and even some believe the book of Hebrews. We have the whole Brit HaChadashah almost was given to us, written through this one man called Shaul, Paul. And his ministry was to instruct the body of Messiah. And so he tells the Corinthians, for as the body is one, and as so many members, and all the members are one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ, or Mashiach, or the Messiah. He is telling them that the members of the body here on earth is seen as if the Messiah is the head and we are the body on earth. You know, just like your body today, you have a body, you have many members of the body, but you also have a head. The human body cannot function without the head. And we have a head in heaven, the Messiah, and you and I are members of that one body here on earth, while the head is in heaven. He's the head. Colossians tells us that he's the head of the body. Again, I'm making it clear as much as I can. Israel is still awaiting those future three feasts that will lead them to the Messianic kingdom. We are not here yet. We are not in the Messianic kingdom. They were just shooting 10 boys in the States. They were just killing other people around the world. Airplanes just was falling down. Beloved brothers and sisters, we are here, right here, in between Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. We are waiting the future day. There is a day coming where the Messiah will come and will restore our people Israel to himself. But we live in the present day dispensation, Jew and Gentile united together in the body of Messiah. And so he said to them, notice verse 13, for by one spirit we are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bonds or free. And we have all been made to drink of the very same Spirit. The Spirit came down in Pentecost. And he united us into one body. Our nation is still waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But you and I as believers today are part of this one body. The head is in heaven, praise God. The body is here on earth waiting for the day when the Lord will come to take us to be with him in heaven and then restore our people Israel to himself. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters, here in this verse, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we are Jewish or Gentile, whether we are bond or free, and we all have been made to drink into the same Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God came to earth to unite us together. That's why we have to appreciate each other and not to neglect to appreciate each other as brothers and sisters in the Messiah. Now, I had much more that I could say, and I just don't want, because of time, I don't want to linger that too long. But beloved brothers and sisters, that is exactly what the Spirit of God did when the Feast of Shavuot came. He united us together into one body. And today, for 2,000 years already, these two, Jew and Gentile, are presented before God as one. We are part of this one body, and the Spirit of God is indwelling every one of us who is a believer. And praise God that we still can preach today the wonderful works of God. We will wait until the day then the Lord will come and take the redeemed people to be with him in heaven, and then finally he will restore the people of Israel. The Feast of Trumpet represent the restoration, the physical restoration of Israel. The Feast of Atonement represent Israel finally recognizing that the Messiah is Jesus, is Yeshua, and they will repent. And ultimately, the Feast of Tabernacles represent the coming of the Messiah as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, establishing the kingdom here in this world. And then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yeshua, the Messiah, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.